Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How is everybody today? This is really hot. I know Ali's working on this. Sorry for the technical difficulties. TJ, I promise it doesn't happen every time you come. Well, we are so glad to have each and every one of you in service with us today. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at The Lifeway. We are just so thankful to have you in service with us. This is going to be a great day. I've got a great word from the Lord for you this morning. But before I get into that, just wanted to give you a building pledge update. How many of you are excited about the building? Yeah. So I wanted to let you know that as of last evening, we are almost two-thirds of the way to our goal. So we have 97,000 that has been committed over the next 2 years in pledges. And so one last week, these are going to be in your service guide. Would love it if God's still kind of working on your heart about how you should be a part of this. Remember, no pressure here. All I ask you is just ask God, how should I be a part? And then however he leads you, if he says, hey, don't be a part, then no worry, all right? Don't be a part, just take a deep breath, and okay, that's not for me. But just be obedient to however he leads you. We have had inspections going on this past week. I've got about 8 or 9 things going on this week at the building, and so just be praying. There's lots of moving parts in this, and just super excited about what God is doing and the potential of a new home for us here at the Lifeway Church. Well, next week is a great Sunday. Everybody say, At the Movies. Anybody here excited for At the Movies? All right, so many of you got postcards with self-addressed stamped envelopes when you walked out last week, Sunday, and so make sure if you've not already sent those out, make sure you get those in the mail right away, and then follow that up with a phone call, all right? And it is going to be amazing. The Word of God just comes through so powerfully. And so listen, I want everybody here to have a guest with them at least once, but it would be amazing if we all had a guest with us every single week for the next 5 weeks. All right? Everybody got that? Everybody say, got it. All right, and we've got little tickets that you can take, as many of them as you want. We ordered 1,000 of them. Take as many as you want, hand them out, give them to waitresses, give them to the people that are pumping gas next to you, invite them. It is a great, great thing that's really designed to just be an easy ask for people to come. Well, one of the things that we love, and Jonte jumped up here. Man, Jonte, you did an awesome job. Tech team, you did an awesome job. Getting that resolved, but one of the things that we have here, that really make everything that you see here possible, is our dream team, and we love our dream team here at the Lifeway. And one of the things that we love to do is we love to celebrate when people are just doing a great job. How many of you like to be recognized when you're doing a great job at work? Right? Yeah. And we have an amazing, amazing team. And so what we do the first Sunday of every single month is we get together and we celebrate a dream team member that's kind of going above and beyond and doing an amazing job. And so it is my pleasure to introduce our September Star of the Month to you right here in the second row, Melissa Reese. Yeah, we love Melissa. She serves, her and her husband Noah serve on our greeter team. They're doing an amazing job, and God is just doing amazing things in their life, and so we're just thankful for Melissa. Now, I want to make sure that you all listen, watch me here. Make sure you get this message, all right? Otherwise, you're going to be coming to rehearsal on Thursday, all right? Because this Thursday is a national holiday in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, some of you will figure that out later. Hey. Who's booing? All right. We are going to postpone Encounter Night for 1 week to the 12th. Okay, so Encounter Night will be a week from this Thursday. Encounter Night, for those of you that are new here, is our time where we get together as a church family. We worship, we pray together, we take communion together. It's an amazing, amazing time. But that will be held on the 12th, a week from this Thursday. So you can come this Thursday, that's fine. The worship team will still be there having rehearsal. And you'll just come in and we'll just make that your audition, all right? How's that? All right, yeah, the band's great, happy about that. So we're just going to take a moment. One of the things we like to do every Sunday is just give a warm welcome to all of our guests who are listening online, and so we appreciate our online audience. I'm just thankful for you. Today, I've got a message from the Lord for you. I want to teach on a subject that is often very misunderstood in Christianity, and that is the subject of evangelism. Everybody say evangelism. People often will think, man, evangelism is so intimidating. In fact, let me see a show of hands. How many of you think evangelism is kind of intimidating? All right, don't lie in church, all right? I know it's more of you than that, or this building would already be full, all right? You know, people say, well, man, that's intimidating. They'll say, you know, that must not really be my thing. It's not really meant for me. Many believers have the complete wrong perspective when it comes to their role in the process of evangelism. In fact, there was an open-air crusade that was held in Nova Scotia, Canada, where Billy Graham, the great revivalist, the great evangelist Billy Graham, was scheduled to speak the next evening, and he had arrived the day early, and so he decided to attend the first service, and he chose to sit on the grass all the way at the back of the crowd. And because he was wearing a hat and he had pulled it down nice and low and sunglasses on, nobody really recognized him. And so as the service went on, directly in front of him was an elderly gentleman who was listening intently to the message that night. And as the speaker concluded, he invited those who wanted to come forward to commit their lives to follow Jesus. And so as Billy Graham was sitting there, he decided to do a little personal evangelism. And so he tapped the man on the shoulder and he said, hey, would you like to commit your life to Jesus Christ? If so, I'd be happy to walk with you down to the front and pray with you. And the old man looked at him. He thought it over for a moment and he said, you know what? No, I'm just going to wait until tomorrow when the big gun speaks. Never knowing he was talking to the big gun. And unfortunately, this story really illustrates the thought that so many of us have, that evangelism is the responsibility of the big guns, of the spiritual elites in the church. But when I want you to recognize that when Jesus made his initial call to the disciples, he told them that he would make them something that is very, very interesting if you actually read it. Now, if I'm Jesus and I'm calling my crew together and I've got all the power to teach everything, I probably would have told those group of men that he called to be disciples, I probably would have said, hey, come follow me and I'm going to make you more spiritual, right? Or I would have said, hey, come follow me and I'm going to make you nicer. I'm going to make you more benevolent. I'm going to make you a better spouse. I'm going to make you a better parent. But Jesus didn't say any of those things. As he gathered together his disciples, his dream team, this is what he said. He said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. In other words, Jesus told them, hey, I'm going to teach you how to make an impact on the lives of other people. And because so many people carry this wrong idea about evangelism, I wanted to teach on it this morning to bring some clarity and dispel the fear that is often associated with this topic. Because as you read through the pages of this book, through the Bible, reaching and redeeming the lost is the primary theme that we find from cover to cover in God's Word. Jesus, speaking in Mark chapter 16, 15, says, go into all of the world and preach the good news to everyone. Yeah, God, even the ones that look scary. Even the ones that make me say, I probably shouldn't talk to that. God, that can't really be you. That must be that pizza sitting in there weird from that. That's not you. God, that person's too. I can't talk to that person. No. Go and preach the good news to everyone. Listen, God has always been looking for those who would go out and share the good news with the world around them. And again, because of the misconception, most of us in this room are probably scared of this. We don't even really want to be a part of it. And so I want you to stop right now, and I want you to think of some adjectives in your mind. Maybe even close your eyes and think about the adjectives that describe an evangelist. Come on, do it right now. You thinking? Thinking, come on, picture an evangelist in your mind. When I think of an evangelist, I think of a guy wearing a suit with a nice necktie pulled up tight, and he walks up to the stage all prim and proper, and then 5 minutes in, the necktie's done, the suit coat's thrown on the floor, and then like 3 minutes after that, the tie's on the ground, and he's preaching, but he's preaching loud. How many of you know that kind of evangelist, right? He's actually a bit obnoxious, kind of spitting and screaming into the microphone. He's yelling at people, hey, repent! That's the kind of evangelist I grew up with. They were intense, you know, kind of crazy sounding. You know, the organ would be, you know, the B3 would be behind him, you know, that church, like, wow, and everyone's, ooh, glory, you know, that kind of thing. Evangelists, like, they have this special gift of turning one-syllable words into two. You know what I'm talking about? Not church, but church, and not God, but God in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth, right? You're laughing, right? You're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? In our mind, that's how many of us picture an evangelist. But now I want you to think of the adjectives that describe the person who's most responsible for you coming to Jesus. How many of them spit on you when they talk to you? How many of them turned one-syllable words into two? How many of them were loud? How many of them were obnoxious? How many of them screamed at you? Probably none of those things. Instead, you're probably thinking words like kind and patient and inviting and caring and loving. It's a completely different picture. Somewhere down the line, we've gotten this idea that evangelism has to do with radical, crazy, out of control, can't relate to anyone, Jesus freak people. How many of you have thought that before? Don't lie in church. Really, evangelism is all about being a person who's overflowing with the love of Jesus, who wants the best for and in other people's lives. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Tell your neighbor, you've been called to be a witness. Come on, tell your neighbor. Tell your second choice, you were called to be a witness. In courtrooms across our nation, there are several key players involved in the legal proceedings. There's a prosecutor. There's a defense attorney. There's even a judge who sits behind the bench. But watch this. Jesus didn't ask us to fill any one of those roles. You weren't called to defend the gospel. You aren't expected to have answers to every difficult question that people may ask. You weren't called to be the judge to condemn people to hell. I could preach there right now. Abel would have to come up and play the organ, and we could have altar call right there and finish up. But Jesus said, you are supposed to be my witnesses. Now catch this. A witness in a courtroom simply shares their side of the story. In other words, let me tell you what's happened to me. Let me tell you the difference that Jesus Christ has made in my life. I once was lost. I was broken. I was hopeless. I was destitute. I was suicidal. But Jesus reached down and he rescued me. And when you do that, you'll discover that the world is very interested in what you have. Gallup released the results of a poll several years ago that stated that out of the 65 million people who don't go to church in our nation, 34 million, over half of them would go if someone just invited them. What you need to understand is that even though you can't see it, even though we can't see it in the natural, God is already at work in people's hearts. And he just needs to understand how the process works and to cooperate with him and then do our part. As a believer, I want you to understand this is your ultimate destiny. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's essential that we understand that followers fish. God's redemptive hope for mankind is written over and over throughout this book. And we are his plan for others to come into relationship with him. Sometimes people who have a religious spirit will come up to me and say, hey, pastor, when are you going to teach that deep stuff? I want to give you something deep this morning. Why don't we all commit to not just learn about the Bible, but to actually live it? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. One person believed that. Thank you. The person drowning in their problems, The ones suffering from depression, anxiety, and addiction, they don't need the Greek word for life raft. They just need you to throw them one. Go ahead and be the light. Be the salt of the earth. Live it out. That's deep preaching. Start doing the things that you already know how to do. Second Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Skipping down to verse 5, work at telling others the good news. I love that. That statement, work at it, indicates that we're probably not very good at it. So it's going to be necessary that we practice. And then the last phrase of this verse is so incredible. It says, fully carry out the ministry God has given you. I wonder how many times that you've thought, or maybe you've heard people say, well, I just don't know what God wants to do in my life. Listen, that's it, right there. Then people say, no, I want something more specific. No, this is as simple as it is. God has strategically placed people in your life because he wants you to touch their lives and share your story, the things that God wants to do in them. And I want you to hear me, if you follow Jesus for any length of time, the place of longing that you are trying to fill in your soul, that place of longing that you're trying to fill with career and success and money and houses and cars and vacations and things, listen, you will never fulfill that place unless you step into the calling, the God-given mission in your life, and that is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. So I want to break it down. I want to make it as easy for you as possible. How do you share Christ with others? Four simple things. Don't make it harder than it is. Evangelism is not being able to explain the whole Bible. Evangelism is not convincing someone that your way is better than their way. Can I get a good amen, somebody? It's not that at all. So here's the first thing, the first blank in your outline. I encourage you to pull that out, follow along with us, take some notes. Number one, the first thing you need to do, number one, is be aware and accept the personal responsibility. Be aware and accept the personal responsibility. Listen, God has placed each one of us strategically in a sphere of influence. We were placed into a family on purpose. We connect with certain people and have friends for a reason, co-workers on the job, classmates at school, and his hope, his plan is that we would influence and reach them. And so I want to just encourage you and tell you, listen, you've never really lived until you've walked into church and you have an unchurched person sitting in service right next to you. And because they were searching for hope, listen, at the end of the message, when I say every head bowed and every eye closed, the only time you can disobey that is if you have a guest there, all right? And now don't make it obvious, but kind of open the corner of your eye and kind of look, right? And this is why I want you to do this. When you see that invitation given, you hear that invitation given, you see a tear running down their eye. And you see them lift their hand and say yes to Jesus. I promise you that will be the best service that you have ever attended in your life. Why? Because it's what God has designed you and I to do. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. This is God's plan. I almost wanted to drop some Drake in there right now, just kind of play it for a second. But in case you're wondering, there is no plan B. You are it. And so be aware of the fact that it is our role. Secondly, I want you to be aware of how the process works. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says this, my work was to plant the seed in your hearts. And Apollo's work was to water it, but it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your hearts. Listen, that's what I'm asking everyone to do. Just be a part of the process. Some of us will go in the sun and we'll just till the soil. We'll make it ready. Others are going to come behind and we're going to drop some seeds in. And someone else is going to come along and they're going to water. And then that fruit is going to take birth and it's going to grow. And someone's going to come along and harvest it. But listen, we all must play our part. Quite some time ago, a man by the name of James Engle developed a scale of how people move towards Christ. And there are numerous iterations and interpretations of his original work. I want to share one of those iterations with you. And this is important because I believe it'll help us recognize that our job isn't just to go around and close deals like, you know, used car salespeople, you know. I remember I was on a missions trip. I'm getting in trouble. I'm going way off my notes too often today. We might be here all afternoon. But I remember I was on a missions trip, and it was almost like when someone said yes to Jesus, like people were like taking their belt out and putting a notch in it, right? Listen, that's not what we're called to do, right? Our job simply is to help someone take one step. I just want you to hear this, all of us in this room, from the youngest in our journey with Christ to the person that's been walking with Jesus the longest in our lives. Listen, we all have a next step. This is a scale. The first stage is the ultimate far from God. It's a -6. They are -6. It's resistant. They are resistant. If you want to take a few extra notes, they're probably resistant for one of two reasons. For most people, it's hurt or it's fear. And I just want you to hear this. A lot of people's hurts come from the church. They come from supposed followers of Jesus Christ. And listen, we should just tell people, hey, I'm sorry about what has happened in your life, but I just want to let you know that's not what God is really like. Some of you have maybe even had people come and say to you, well, I don't like Christians. Listen, I don't think it'll hurt to respond with this. You know what? I don't like them either. I grew up with so many mean ones, we started our own church. So that's -6. Our goal is to try to move them from this stage to the next, which is -5. It's receptive. Receptive. In other words, they start to think there must be something else out there. There's got to be more than life, more to life than this. And then the next step is -4. That's seeking. They're seeking. That's when people start looking for answers and a way out of their mess and their situation. And then they go from a -4 to a -3, and that's considering. They're considering. They're looking at what their life is right now versus what it could be. In other words, they see what God is doing inside of you. And this is a great stage for people to be at, because all of us have discovered that when we try to live a life apart or away from God, it always leads to destruction and misery. And so listen, there's no need to be in a hurry with people. Take your time as they move through the process, because this is the way it works. The -2 stage is now they are understanding. They're understanding. This is the point that we can start sharing some simple truths. Things like, listen, you don't have to get everything together and cleaned up before you come to God. Just come as you are to him and begin a relationship with Jesus. And then the -1 stage is now they are ready. They're ready. That's the 34 out of 65 million statistic that I mentioned earlier. I want you to know that number should haunt each and every one of us every single day of our lives, because people are out there, they are ready, and they are searching for hope. They're searching for something new. They're searching for something life-giving. But understand, every day you're walking past people who are ready, and they're waiting on one thing, not an explanation, not an exegesis of the book of Revelation, not a theological argument. They are simply waiting for someone to give them an explanation and an invitation. Not an explanation, an invitation. So that's why we're starting at the movies next week. It's a series specifically designed to be an easy ask. And so if this is your church home, I mentioned it a few minutes ago, I want you to have someone with you if possible every single week. And then from there, people move to kind of zero. That's kind of like the baseline, and that is new life in Christ. New life in Christ. I'm going to just take a couple minutes and show you a few on the plus side, because some of you in this room, you've done step zero, but you're stuck, all right? So the first step after you've said yes to Jesus and new life is you find on the plus side, +1, a place of belonging. Listen, you need to connect to a good church. And we'd love for it to be this one, but if we're not your cup of tea, that's fine. But find a church, and when you find it, go all in. Become a part of the team. Be in life groups. Whatever the church does, be there and be all in. Right, if Lifeway is your church home, we've got life groups that are, Sunday is coming up in 2 weeks, and so we want you to be in a group. Get in one. Why? Because we all need friends and mentors that are going to help us and challenge us and cause us to become more like Jesus. The plus two stage, plus two stages, you're growing. You're growing. That is when you discover the ways that God has designed you to make a difference and change the world. And then that leads us to the plus three, and that is we begin to have an attitude where we begin serving. A lot of us, a lot of what God has to offer us cannot even be realized until we begin serving other people. God's blessing and provision starts to flow when we move towards the purpose that He has for us. And then that leads us to the last step. That's the plus four stage. That's where I'm hoping all of you will leave here today being at, and that is sharing. This is the ultimate fulfillment stage where you are sharing Christ. You are working people through the stages of this process. Sam Williams said it this way. He said, evangelism is helping people discover how God is already at work in their lives. Doesn't it make it so much easier when I don't have to do the work? God's already doing it. I'm just helping step in, and let me just help you take a step. And so we need to be aware and understand that reaching others is our responsibility. Here's the second thing we need to do. Number two is commit to prayer. Commit to prayer. So I challenge you, all of us in this room, we need to make a list of people and we need to commit their names to prayer. A great way to pray over people is to pray scripture over them. And so in your outline are five key verses. I'm not going to read all of them here, but I'm going to just briefly go over them that you can pray over people that you want to see come to know Jesus. John 6:44, pray that they would be drawn to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:4, pray against the spirit that blinds their minds. Listen, we wrestle against a spirit that is causing blindness in our world today, and we need to come against that and pray against that spirit under the authority of Jesus Christ. The third scripture, Romans 8:15, pray that they come to know God relationally. Here, this is so important. It's so key. We're not praying that they find religion, but rather they would find relationship with a loving God. That they would come to know Him as a loving Father and not some mean guy up there with a big club just waiting for us to mess up so we can whack a mole and just beat us over the head with it. No, God's not that way. So that they would know God relationally. The fourth prayer is Matthew 9:38. Pray that believers would cross their paths and enter into positive relationships with Him. God, I pray that some great, loving, life-giving Christians, right, would cross paths with them at some point during their day and be a positive influence on them. And then the last scripture, Ephesians 1:17. Pray that God would give them a revelation of who Jesus is and what He has done for them. I want you to hear this. None of us can turn on the spiritual lights in someone's heart. It's only God who does that. And so the same thing, I believe, is really kind of occurring for some of you as you sit here this morning, because you may have walked in here with blinders on regarding this topic of evangelism. And as I begin to teach this for the first time in your life, you're like, wow, it is easy. It's beginning to make sense. Why? Because the spirit of wisdom and revelation is here causing us to know God better. Amen. Amen. So we're going to become aware. We're going to accept the personal responsibility. We're going to commit to prayer. The third thing is this. We are going to show you care. Show you care. We're going to show that we care. It's not essential to know the entire Bible to be a witness. I have people, even as the pastor of this church. In fact, I had a couple ladies come up to me yesterday at the Labor Day party, and they asked me some questions. I'm like, man, I don't even know how to answer that, right? Listen, it's not our responsibility to know everything. We just need to build relationships with people. Listen, people don't care what you know. They just want to know that you care. And so be a friend. This is a great passage in 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I am free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Verse 22, I have become all things to all people. Eating. Yeah, somebody like, I like that. Yeah, all of us like that. Playing golf. Hanging out. Doing a Friday night game night, getting together in a park and playing volleyball. Whatever it takes, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. Listen, none of these things are very hard. We need to become aware. We need to commit to prayer. We need to show that we care. And once you do these three things, people are going to get to the ready stage. And listen, an opportunity is going to present itself. And that leads us to the fourth step, number four, and that is be ready to share. Be ready to share. And I just want to pause here for a moment. Because so many of us, one of the reasons we're afraid of evangelism is we grew up and we heard a lot of bad evangelism examples. Anybody ever heard a bad evangelism example? Kind of like turn or burn, right? If you don't get your life right, you're going to walk out of here and die and you're going to hell. Like, come on. So, listen, a lot of us heard that kind of preaching when we grew up. Listen, evangelism isn't telling a person that they are wrong. It's telling them the difference that Jesus Christ has made on the inside of you. And when you tell that story, when you share what God has done for you, people are going to want what you have. They may not want it immediately, but I promise you, a storm is going to come in their life, and they're going to remember. I remember when I was talking to TJ at work, and he told me about the hope and what Jesus did in his life. I remember, and they're going to come back, and they're going to find you. Some of you, you might be comfortable walking people through the scriptures and sharing what Jesus did for them. And if so, that's great. Do that. Teach them a quick Bible study. But listen, if you're not comfortable, then just bring them to church. Say, hey, why don't you just come sit next to me? You know, we have coffee and we have donuts and our band is great and the pastor is extremely intelligent and pretty good looking too, I might add. Just come, you're going to love it, and have them sit next to you, and as you do this over and over again, this is what's going to happen. You'll begin changing the world one person at a time. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus tells a story. We saw it in the sermon bumper a little while ago, and it says, if a man has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors saying, hey, come rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and turns to God. Listen, hear this. Then over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Can I tell you this morning? Jesus cares about the one. That's why Social Revival is here. Because Jesus cares about the one. He will leave the 99 found ones. He will leave a big established mega church to go do something crazy to find the one that is lost, who's hurting, and who's broken. Research suggests that in our nation, 100 churches are closing their doors each and every week. And I can't help but wonder if one of the reasons why is because the Father has left them to play church. As they become irrelevant and eventually die out while he is chasing after his lost sheep. Listen, I want you to hear me. While God's love for us as his beloved sons and daughters, it never fades and it never ends. Understand that heaven is not rejoicing this morning because a group of believers got together in a high school auditorium and came together and corporately worshiped. I can't help but picture, as our service begins every single week, that God is peering through the blinds, the windows of heaven, and he's looking down and saying, hey, is one of my lost children there this morning? Did someone care enough to talk about me at work or school? Did somebody care enough to invite and bring one of my lost kids home where they could come and experience my love and feel hope? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want every one of us to pause for a moment and reflect. I want you to remember that at one point, you, or perhaps your parents or grandparents, you were the one. You were the one who was lost. You were the one who was broken. You were the one that was hopeless. But somebody cared enough about you to reach out and literally be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus Christ. And because of their willingness to be aware, to pray, to care, to share their story and be vulnerable, you have now been adopted into the family of God. You are now an heir to the greatest kingdom and the greatest family that this world has ever known. Oh, that God would convict our heart and that He would shake us and awake us out of our sleep and our slumber. God, that we would share your heart, a heart that is consumed with love for those who are far from you. Lord, give us a vision this morning. Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask right now, in this instant, that every one of us in this room, that you would put a picture of the one that you're reaching for, that you've strategically placed them to reach. This morning, you might be sitting here, and you're ready to make the next step towards Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus didn't come because there were 99 righteous in this place. He left his throne in heaven to come down to just an old theater in West Allis, Wisconsin. He left the 99 to come and show you his love. And so today, if you're tired of carrying your own pain, and if you're tired of going through life and your problems alone, I want you to hear this morning, we serve a God. He loves you so very much. He cares so deeply for you. And you can walk out of this place this morning being set free. All you have to do is repent, surrender, and give your life to Jesus. No one looking around. If you're ready to make that step, I want to pray for you. If that's you're ready, why don't you just lift your hand right now? Anybody who'd say yes to Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all over, thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your presence that we feel so strongly in this room today. Lord, I thank you that your love for us is so great, that you left the comforts of heaven, you came to earth to be the ultimate sacrifice, to pay the debt, the sin debt that I deserve to pay. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, I repent, which simply means I turn to you. I stop going my own direction, and instead, Lord, I move to you. Thank you for new life today. Lord Jesus, I pray over every person in this room who's been walking with you for any length of time. Lord God, I pray that you would stir us. Lord, I pray it even get to the point that you would shake us out of our sleep, that we can't even sleep at night, till we get consumed with how passionate you are about your children who are headed to an eternity of suffering unless somebody intervenes. Lord, we commit all over again, Lord, to be your hands and to be your feet. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.